So the cellular phone industry estimates it will lose nearly $1 billion this year because of fraud. Since cell phones were introduced more than a decade ago, security technology has become more sophisticated, but so have the criminals. NPR's Melissa Block reports that some recent arrests show once again that cell phone crooks are adept at finding ways to outsmart the companies trying to protect their technology.
Those in the industry call their battle against cellular phone fraud a high-tech war, and the latest high-profile taking of prisoners was trumpeted last week in New York. Federal prosecutors, the Secret Service, and the Drug Enforcement Administration announced the arrests of three people who they charge have been running a cellular fraud ring that spans the globe. In a sting operation, agents bought the latest generation of devices designed to steal and then clone legitimate cellular phone numbers. Among the devices, a highly portable scanner that can pluck from the airwaves the codes of phones being used. Special Agent William Whiteside, spokesman for the Secret Service in New York, says this new breed of scanner is small and unobtrusive enough that someone can use it while walking down the street.
It's very small, compact. It's powered by 2 9-volt batteries. It looks like a business card portfolio in a leather-type case, and it's no bigger than 5 inches wide, 12 inches long, and just about an inch thick.
Agents also uncovered so-called lifetime phones, which can be programmed to store 99 of those stolen cellular identification codes. And the agents found cell trackers, which combine lifetime phone capability with the power to target and eavesdrop on conversations. The cellular phone industry is getting used to these ever more sophisticated devices. According to Nick Arcuri, vice president of fraud control at Bell Atlantic 9X Mobile Communications, the industry and its foes are engaged in an elaborate battle of wits.
We deploy one technology, or we go after them one way, and they look for another door to get in.
And however many strategies the industry tries using to secure its systems, all agree cellular phones are inherently vulnerable.
I refuse to use one. It has absolutely no security.
That's Peter Neumann with the think tank SRI International in Menlo Park, California. He studies computer and telecommunications-related risk.
We're on this ever-increasing spiral where the offense and the defense are pitted against each other, and they're getting more and more skilled at the art, and one would suspect that maybe the attackers have the advantage in the long run, that they're getting better faster.
One thing the cellular industry is trying to encourage is the use of personal identification numbers, like those used at automatic teller machines. They can provide an added layer of security, requiring a more advanced scanner to detect them, but they're still not a fail-safe solution. The future, many say, is encryption. This would be an authentication process requiring a new digital phone system. It would be costly, and though harder to crack, still not impossible. Meantime, cellular customers are reminded to be aware of potential fraud. Phil Balsano is manager of fraud prevention at Ameritech Cellular Services, which serves the Midwest.
The message we're trying to send is that it's no different than your credit card or your ATM card. You know, you have an open line of credit with a cellular phone.
When fraud is detected, if a customer suddenly gets an astronomical bill, or if the cellular company computers pick up a strange calling pattern, the company absorbs the losses. That amounted to nearly $2 million a day last year, losses ultimately passed on to the consumer. But it's not just revenue losses that worry the industry. It's also who's using the cloned phones, who's taking advantage of the anonymity they provide, says Tom McClure, director of fraud management with the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association.
The concern is that the phones are being used by the criminals to facilitate their criminal activity, be it terrorism, be it drug dealings, be it kidnapping or bank robbery. So it becomes a society problem, and the industry is committed to shutting that down.
One special twist about the recent arrests in New York, the whole investigation began in cyberspace. A fraud prevention engineer at AT&T Wireless Services, who was surfing the internet looking for suspicious postings, came across an email message sent from one Bernhard Boetz, a German-born electrical engineer who prosecutors say was quite openly advertising the illegal devices. That discovery turned into a government investigation, and it resulted in the second-ever authorization to conduct the internet equivalent of wiretapping. It was those wiretaps of email messages that led to the arrests of Boetz and two alleged accomplices. Mark Rash specializes in computer crime and privacy matters with the Center for Information Protection.
as bad guys and criminals start using the net the same way the good guys are doing it, you're going to see law enforcement doing more monitoring of the net and raising more significant privacy concerns.
And as for cellular phone fraud, the base for potential tampering is widening dramatically. There are nearly 30,000 new cellular phones sold each day. In New York, I'm Melissa Block reporting.